Good evening, everybody. A warm welcome to you. And indeed, I would like to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year for when it comes. I want to extend a warm welcome to all who are visitors here. Perhaps maybe you're here for the first time. Perhaps you're visiting Tampa because of family. But it's great to have you with us as well. And I want to extend especially a warm welcome to our friends from Cornerstone. It's great to see you all here tonight. And we pray that together we will really become very conscious of the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose birth we celebrate and remember tonight. And we want to worship in such a way as to almost bring us back to that very first Christmas, to sense and experience the wonder and the glory of that very birth of God as flesh amongst us. And so we pray that tonight there'll be a sense of awe and wonder and joy in our hearts as we worship the Lord. In a moment, we're going to light our final Advent calendar, and I've asked the Steblin family to do that for us. Then we'll have a brief video just to set our hearts ready to worship, and then we'll go into our first songs, O Come, All Ye Faithful. And joy to the world, because tonight is about celebrating joy in the midst of all that might trouble people's lives, that there is great joy to celebrate tonight. So, Sandy and Mark, family, please come up and light our candle and lead us in our opening prayer.
Good evening, Hope.
Evening.
Our verse is from John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you tonight. We thank you as we celebrate the birth of your Son, Jesus Christ. We thank you for that gift, Lord, that gift that came to us that first Christmas morning wrapped in swaddling clothes. And also wrapped in that was the promise of salvation and the gift of hope, all wrapped up in that little baby who will soon become our king and return to us. The depth and the breadth of that love for us, Lord, is such that we can hardly even imagine it. And we are so grateful to you for that, Lord. And so as we light this candle tonight, this fifth candle, the white candle representing Christ in his purity and goodness, we ask that you would burden our hearts to go out into the world and spread that light to others in this world who are in need or who are broken and hurting and need a Savior, Lord. Holy Spirit, help us, help our face and our actions and our words reflect that light, reflect that hope and peace and love and joy that Jesus brought down to earth, Lord. Lord Jesus, We raise up these prayers and these praises to you in your most holy name, the name above all names, the King of Kings, the Most Holy. Happy birthday, baby Jesus. Amen.
Now, as we prepare ourselves to come to worship the Lord, we're going to dim the lights and put on a brief introduction, and then we'll open into our songs of worship and praise.
Look up. See the glow of a star a million miles away. So far away. So distant. So weary. Isolated. Divided. Tired. Months of waiting. Months of longing. Looking for an answer. Looking for hope. When the light has faded and our anxiety has grown, you can still hear it. Don't be afraid. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. He is called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Emmanuel. He is the path in a world that's lost its way. Down this hardened world. He is the light that even darkness bows to. He is what our weary hearts have longed for. He is the sound of hope, conquering all our fear. He is God with us. His name is Jesus.
Amen. We would ask that you would join us as we sing. And we're going to sing Once in Royal David City first. So while she's pulling that up, we're going to sing. And the end of this song says, "For that child so dear and gentle is our Lord in heaven above." Please stand and sing with us.
In Royal David City stood a lowly cattle shed, where a mother laid her baby in a manger for his bed. Mary was that mother mild, Jesus Christ, her little child.
sing, "Oh, come be faithful." You are the faithful.
To bed.
please take a seat as we want to listen now to God's voice speak to us through his word. I'm going to ask a couple of our readers to come up, and Crofton and Joshua, wherever you're sitting, there he is. And the theme of light, it just runs right through the whole of Scripture. And perhaps it's in the darkness of winter that can help us to appreciate our deep need for light and what it represents to us morally and spiritually. So I've asked Crofton to take two readings from God's Word, both from Isaiah chapter 9 and then Isaiah 60. And then Joshua will read from John chapter 3 and just follow that theme of light. Crofton, thank you. It's there too if you need it.
Isaiah 9, 1 and 2. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the deep, darkness, a light has dawned. And verse 60 or chapter 60. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord riseth upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and the thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to brightness of your dawn.
And this is John 3, 16 through 21. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people loved darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what they have done has been done in the sight of God.
These words just cause us to ponder the wonder of what God has done for us in giving us Jesus as Savior. So let's just take a moment to pray and to reflect upon this glorious reality that God has come amongst us, the light has shone in the darkness. Our loving Father, as we pause to worship you towards the end of a year, towards the beginning of a new year, we thank you that this moment is marked by the celebration that light has descended into the darkness of this world. And we praise you, and we thank you for this incredible gift of yourself through the Lord Jesus Christ becoming one of us. As one of your servants of old has said, Lord Jesus Christ, we adore and worship you. As God, you are in the heart of your Father. As man, you are in the womb of your mother. As God, you fill all things. As man, you are confined to a cradle. As God, you are clothed in a robe of glory. As man, you are wrapped in coarse swaddling clothes. As God, you are encircled by millions of bright angels. As man, you are in the company of Joseph and Mary as refugees. And so we bless you and worship you tonight for these amazing paradoxes that God, the infinite, could be seen in a finite, tiny little child. And yet that was the light that came into the darkness. We worship you tonight. We ask, Lord Jesus Christ, that you will draw near to each one of us here tonight, that we will be conscious that we are in the very presence of the light that has created us, this world, this cosmos, and sustains it moment by moment, and that you are calling us to know you and to follow you all of our days. Bless us, Lord, we pray. We ask all in the name of Jesus. Amen. Friends, we're going to praise God again in song. I also want to say, if you want to worship God with your givings, you can do so on the way out. There is a box right between the door with a big sign saying offering, and you're welcome to give that. After our service, we will also have time of refreshment. So when you make your way out, please pause and grab some coffee and something to eat as well, and mingle and chat to people. And if you see somebody standing by themselves, go over and speak to them. Wish them a Merry Christmas and get to know them. So let's worship God. Let's continue. What child is this?
Please stand.
Yeah. Jesus, we were waiting without hope, without light, till from heaven you came running. There was mercy in your eyes to fulfill the law and prophets. To a virgin came the word, from a throne of endless glory to a cradle in the dirt.
Seat for a moment. Praise to our King of Kings, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We need to see all three members of the triune God working to bring this light into our world. We're going to take one final reading from John's Gospel, chapter 1, and ask Brooks if he'll come up and share God's word with us, read this passage, and then pray with us. Brooks is an elder at Cornerstone. For those who don't know you, and it's just been a joy to get to know Brooks in these days. So, Brooks, will you share us God's word? That's it there.
I want to make sure I'm reading the right one. It's John 1.
John chapter 1, yeah.
Okay, yeah. 1 through 13. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
We're not hearing. Is the microphone not on?
Microphone there.
get your mouth right into it, you'll be fine.
Okay, chapter 1.
Chapter 1, yeah.
Okay, 1 through 13, got it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was light. The life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man that was sent from God, whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and through the world was made through him. Or though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to what, he came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision, or a husband's will, but born of God. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, in a few minutes, Pastor Smart will be up here to deliver your message. We pray that you would give your Holy Spirit to him so that the message that he delivers and all who hears it would be blessed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As you come towards Christmas Day, I know for the children here, it's very exciting, the prospect of tomorrow. You are excited, aren't you? Yes, I think so. The children included, yes. And there's just something about Christmas presents that you get these gifts, and maybe you spend some time looking through old drawers in your house, and you discover previous Christmas gifts. And you notice how they no longer work, do they? Batteries are gone, fuses have blown, their technology that's now just out of date. And you look at it and you think, can you get such a thing as a Christmas present that lasts, that will endure, and that will be there for not just next year, but maybe many years into the future? And that's something that we may all sense. And it's a reflection, really, isn't it, of life. Can we find anything in life that will last? Will you find relationships that will last? Will you find just a marriage that will last, a friendship that will last? These are things that you can't take for granted, can you? It's so easy for any of these things not to last. But I want to think tonight of a little bit of why some things don't last, because there's a certain amount of darkness in this world that can impact our lives. But as we think of darkness, it's only so that we can highlight and celebrate what is the heart of Christmas, which is what? It is the light of Christ descending into the darkness. And that's something that will last. But as you look around us, there is darkness, is there not, around us? I don't know if you follow the news much. The wise people here amongst us, they tell me they never listen to the news because it's just depressing. But if you do follow it a little bit, there's the sheer geopolitical situation in the world. And it's so uncertain. What is going to happen? How many wars will we see in the future? What will happen there? So there's a lot of darkness around in our times. But there's also the possibility that even in 2025, some of you, I know, you've had your own personal lives touched by a certain amount of darkness. This is the darkness of grief. You've lost someone you loved. And for some of you here, maybe you lost someone many years ago, but this time, right now, Christmas, kind of brings all of that back to you. And that's such a burden to bear in the darkness of that loss. But it goes even deeper. There's another darkness that can trouble us even more. When you sense an inner darkness, when you fight with your own desires and you want to do something that's right, and yet you end up giving in and you end up struggling to do the right thing in life, and in that moment we sense that all of us, myself included, that we've just got this heart that has a real taint of darkness that often expresses itself in weakness and the inability to do the right thing and just being consistent. And so we feel that inner battle as well. In fact, Scripture tells us there's really three levels of darkness. There's that inner battle with darkness, what the Bible calls sin. But there's a spiritual darkness in this life as well that Scripture associates with a being of tremendous evil called Satan. And that's another level to the complexities of life. And then there's just that darkness around us in this world. That as believers in Jesus, you will find that sometimes there's things that allure you and draw you away from your faith in Christ. And you have got to deal with that regularly. So in all of these ways, the darkness can be around us. But we are not here tonight to talk about the darkness. We are here to celebrate the gift of light and a light that comes before us. And that is the beauty of everything that we see in that very first story, very first account of Jesus' birth into this world. And I want to suggest to you that perhaps the very fact that you are in this building tonight is because we're all ultimately like a moth that's drawn to the candle flame. That our hearts sense that there's a world of darkness around us, but tonight you're here because you long for light. And you have the audacity to think that it might be found in a church. And I want to share with you tonight, you're in the right place. Not because there's anything special about the church, the people of God, or the building that you're in, but because God has drawn you here tonight. And God wants to touch your very innermost soul, your core of who you really are. And so you've come here tonight daring to believe that maybe there is hope somewhere in this world. And that is exactly what these words that we have read celebrate tonight. Because John, in that very glorious chapter 1 that he opens his account of the life of Jesus, said to us in verse 5, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Just think of that promise there. The darkness has not overcome it. That word, overcome, you could translate it in all kinds of ways. It can mean to lay hold of, to grasp, to obtain something. But the darkness can't do that. To overtake something or to surprise something. But the darkness cannot do that with God. To take possession, to comprehend or to understand. That word means all of those things. And yet it's saying here the darkness cannot do those things. Because God is the ultimate source of light. And evil cannot defeat God. It cannot overcome him at all. And so that's the promise here, because 2,000 years ago, the light of God broke in a unique way into human history. Real fact, real history, real timeline. And God, the author of all of life, became a human being, born as a helpless infant into the darkness of this world, surrounded by a murderous king with the swords of killers, fleeing as a refugee, yet whose birth was heralded by a great star, a great light. The best thought there was a comet of incredible size streaking through the heavens, pinpointing the exact spot where the darkness of this world would be overcome. Now take yourself back to that first night. Mary and Joseph in that stable, in that barn, trying to look after a newborn baby. Shepherds out on the hillside. Suddenly, their dark, cold night is transformed as they hear angelic sounds. And then suddenly, beings of tremendous light breaking through the darkness, telling them that something amazing has happened, telling them, go to town, head into town, and you will discover God's answer to all the darkness of the world. And if you were there, you'd have heard that. You'd be stumbling. You'd be in shock. You'd be in surprise. You would then be maybe awestruck. And your whole sense of anticipation would have been cultivated. And you'd have rushed into town, out of the hills, forgetting the sheep, running in to see God's answer. And you find the place. And you open it up. And there's this man and this woman. And there's the answer to the darkness. And it's just a baby. A tiny, helpless baby whose breath could be silenced in a second. Whose only supporters were going to be these shepherds and his immediate family. What hope for a world in darkness? Hardly. And yet, what are we doing 2,000 years later? We are celebrating the birth of that one child. Because for 2,000 years, generation after generation of people have discovered that he is a light in the darkness. They have seen their own personal stories of all the levels of darkness that we've touched on, transformed by the light and the work of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And 2,000 years on, and should he tarry for another 2,000 years, you will find generations more who will still be proclaiming that Christ is the light in the darkness. Why so? Because here's a strange thing. In order to bring us this light in dark places, he had to descend and fall into the darkness, as if the darkness of evil actually had defeated him. Do not let the Christmas story for you this year be your religious fix and leave it there. You must journey on from the light of Christmas all the way to the end of the life of Christ if you want to understand the solution of how one helpless babe could be the light that would dispel the darkness of this world. Because in his cross, in his death, it was like he was taking, absorbing, drawing into himself all the evil of this world. In fact, the Bible says something shocking. It says he became sin for us. He never sinned, never done a dark deed in his life, but it was as if he had sinned, as if he had lived my life, your life, and everything that you've ever done that shocked yourself and others. And to think that he would be willing to do that. And yet he is. So that he can bring a freedom over anything in our lives. evil cannot overcome God. And that's why the darkness cannot overcome. However exactly human history will end one day, it will end on that theme and on that note. Question is, will your personal history, your own personal life, end on that? It can. If you come to this Jesus, if you become a follower of this Jesus, if you continue to follow this Jesus, then you'll find the darkness of loneliness will be gone, of that hopelessness in life, of that terrible fear of the unknown and of death. What are the shadows tonight in your life? What are the things you're most scared of as you head into 2025? What things might seem most uncertain for you? This is telling you very simply right now that if you walk with Christ, He is greater than any of those things. And that you will be following a sure light, no matter how dark your life might get. And so the light of God is calling us. As you step into 2025, where will you go? What will it look like? This is giving you a promise. Verse 5 is giving you a promise that the light will overcome and that the darkness will not. Is it a promise saying that your life will be free from suffering or illness, trauma or heartache? No, it's not saying that. Darkness is real. Evil is real. But it's saying that it won't have the final word in your life. That instead, God in His love and in His light and in His presence will have the final say over every step. So that means that no matter the greatness of the darkness you might feel, the inner guilt, the inner shame, maybe some of you here have lived things that mean you feel a little bit uncomfortable coming into church tonight because you sense that your life is not exactly where God would want it to be. But here's the great news. Christ can wipe out everything that stains your conscience or my conscience. If you're a Christian tonight and you failed Him again and again and again, I'm saying to you, Christ can wipe that out. He can renew. And maybe tonight He's calling you to restart that journey of faith again if it's become cold and if it's gone into the darkness. So whatever it is in 2025 that comes, and if there's a world one day, the darkness is that darkness of the grave, and it wants to wrap its dark shroud around your very soul and drag you downwards. In that moment, remember, the darkness cannot overcome the light of Christ. And He will lead you through the valley of the shadow of death. Therefore, listen. Listen now. In this stillness, in this moment, that God has got you here for a purpose. He's speaking to you. And He's telling you, come to my Son. Receive this Christ. Bow before Him as Lord and Savior. Follow Him wherever He leads you in 25 and beyond. And the darkness will never have the final say in your life. Amen? Never. Let's pray. Lord Jesus Christ, oh, flood our hearts with joy and thankfulness tonight that You are here, that You are a living Savior. We love the story, we love the history, we love that it's there recorded for us, events 2,000 years ago. But tonight's different. Tonight is worship. We reconnect to the one who was there and the one who is alive. And you are present by the Holy Spirit of God in this place right now. We are before God. Oh, help us to stand in awe of that fact right now. Help the reality and the truth of that to overwhelm our souls. And Lord Jesus, whatever 2025 may bring, we commit every footstep of every day and of every hour into your hands. And we pray that you will lead us and that you will guide us. We pray that we will hear the Savior's earnest call, Jesus, the light of the world. Send the gospel truth to all. Jesus, light of the world. Come confess him as your King. Jesus, the light of the world. Then the bells of heaven will ring. Jesus, light of the world. Amen. Amen. Let's celebrate that light physically. I hope you've got a candle. I hope you won't make a mess of our nice chairs. Otherwise, the deacons will kill me. But we're going to light our candles now. And as we do so, there's that just a beautiful symbolism in this moment that here's the Christ candle. If we light one candle from that, and as we go in to sing our final song, we can dim the lights. We'll spread the light from one candle to another until all are illuminated. And it is like working out a parable that this could be true of our hearts. So let's stand and let's sing, let's worship, and let's praise our God in silent night.
From thy holy face, with
Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
You're welcome to all stay, please. There should be plenty of food for everyone. Don't rush away. Let's part now with the very blessing of God on our hearts and lives. Lord, we bless you and praise you and thank you for all that you've given to us. But more than that, what that means about who you are, a God of such kindness, generosity, and mercy. We may indeed be deeply undeserving, but it's all the more stunning that you have given us so much. And now you've given us fellowship, friendship, and food. May your blessing be upon all of that now. And we pray that you would go with us into 2025, whatever it may bring, that we know it will be under the hand of Almighty God. And so now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and gave us eternal comfort and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish them in every good work and word. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ in his second advent. And the people of the Lord said, Amen. Amen. See you, and please greet each other likewise.